Bible, please open to the book of Romans. We'll look at chapter 12, verses 17 to 21. And this is what it says. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you would heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, this morning's message, we're going to return to the mark of a true Christian, Supernatural Love, Part 2. Is there a Part 3? No, okay, Part 2. Pastor?
Thank you, Carrie. And good morning! Great to see you all here today. Today we are talking about loving your enemies. And the first thing we want to understand is that as Christians, hopefully we don't have any enemies as far as it goes with people that we consider an enemy. We consider everyone someone that we want to love and care for, but there may be people who hate us or don't care for us, don't like us, and they would be considered our enemies according to the definition of the Bible. Jesus had many enemies. Jesus laid down his life for his enemies, but yet he had let us today. The work of your Holy Spirit, Father, we can indeed. The word to do so, Father. Please help us to learn how we can do this through this text. Help us, Father, to cherish and love your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, who makes it possible for us not only to love our enemies, but to one day have peace. Father, peace that lasts forever and ever and ever because of what Christ has done. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 12, verse 17. Continues on from our last sermon from last week. This is part two. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Point number one. When we refuse to return evil for the evil done against us, we can rejoice as we are suffering as a Christian, and glorify God in the sight of all. We are blessed because the Holy Spirit rests on us. However, if we return evil for the evil done to us, we bring dishonor upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Point number one. When we refuse to return evil for the evil done against us, we can rejoice as we are suffering as a Christian and glorify God in the sight of all. We are blessed because the Holy Spirit rests on us. However, if we return evil for the evil done to us, we bring dishonor upon our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, highlights this truth. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Christ commands us to take up our cross and follow him. We are called to share in his suffering in this life so that we can share in his glory when he comes again, which he will. He is coming again. When we are insulted for the name of Christ, we are blessed because we know that his Spirit will keep God's promise of our coming glory in Christ. However, when we suffer because we do evil by hating others, there is no reward in it. Let us suffer as a Christian and bring God glory through the witness that we have in the sight of all. Romans 12:18 goes on. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Point number two. True wisdom belongs to those who make peace rather than those who reject peace. Of course, it is not always possible to have peace, but as much as it depends on us as Christians, we must always seek it. Point number two. True wisdom belongs to those who make peace rather than those who reject peace. Of course, it is not always possible to have peace, but as much as it depends on us as Christians, we must always seek it. James 3, verses 13 through 18, highlights this truth. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. If we are wise and understanding in the sight of God, let us prove that by our good conduct, by doing works of meekness, just as Christ did. However, we have nothing to boast about if we fail to have this meek wisdom by having bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in our hearts. Instead, when we boast about our wisdom, when we practice bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, we prove that we are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. This is not the first state at all. In fact, it's sad if we practice bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. It proves that we're not a Christian. Because we're earthly, unspiritual, demonic. That's not how a Christian lives. True wisdom that comes from God is pure, peace-seeking, gentle, open to the reason found in the Word of God, merciful, produces the fruit of the Spirit, and without hypocrisy. Those who make peace with others, as much as it depends on them, produce a harvest of righteousness through the peace that they make. Romans 12, verse 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Jesus also said in Matthew 5, 38 and 39, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Point number 3. When we take vengeance on others for the wrongs that they do to us, we are not taking into account the justice of God. Instead, we rob him of his rightful place to punish evil, because sin is either punished at the cross or punished by God's wrath in hell. Point number 3. When we take vengeance on others for the wrongs that they do to us, we are not taking into account the justice of God. Instead, we rob him of his rightful place to punish evil, because sin is either punished at the cross or punished by God's wrath in hell. So pay attention to this. This is an important reality that we can look to when we desire to punish others for what they've done to us. If we seek to punish the evil that others do to us, we fail to understand the gospel. If someone does evil to us and does not believe in Jesus before they die, so they do evil to us and they die not knowing Christ, God will punish them in hell for all eternity for the sin and other sins, but for the sin that they committed against us. That sin is being punished in hell. Thus, we do not need to punish them for what they did to us, because God is already punishing them for that sin. But we have no right to punish them, because God is punishing them already. However, if we seek to punish a brother or sister in Christ, someone who does believe in Jesus before they die, for the evil that they've done to us, Christ has already taken the punishment on the cross for what they did. So that sin is punished on Christ. Is what Christ has done on the cross not enough punishment for their sin? It is. You see, the vengeance that God takes against the evil done to us is enough, whether it be in hell or on the cross. So we have no place be punishing others on our own for the sin that they commit against us. That sin will be punished or has been punished already. So it is very important that when you feel the desire to take vengeance, you remember, as Romans 12, 19 says, that God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And he has or will punish that sin. We never avenge ourselves. Romans 12, 20 goes on and explains to us, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. So what does that mean, heap burning coals on his head? There's some disagreement on this, but I believe John MacArthur might have it right. John MacArthur explained, the phrase, heap burning coals upon his head, referred to an ancient Egyptian custom. When a person wanted to demonstrate public contrition, he would carry on his head a pan of burning coals. whole to represent the burning pain of his shame and guilt. The point here is that when we love our enemy and genuinely seek to meet his needs, we shame him for his hatred. Point number four. Jesus commands us to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us because God the Father loves his enemies. Even those who are condemned before God love those who love them. Christ demands perfect righteousness from those who would follow him. Point number four. Jesus commands us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us because God the Father loves his enemies. Even those who are condemned before God love those who love them. Christ demands perfect righteousness from those who would follow. Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48 highlights this truth. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. We have a God who blesses his enemies. And thankfully so, because we have, before we came to Christ, we were his enemies. If we got what we deserved from God, we would all be dead the moment we existed, spending eternity in hell because of our sinful heart. But God is merciful and kind to all of us, making the sun rise every day, giving us another day of life despite our sin. It is only because of this mercy that we can live to one day believe in Jesus and be saved, which all of us have if we're trusting in Christ. So we must have the same sort of mercy by blessing those who are our enemies, hoping and praying that they would one day come to Christ as Lord and Savior as well. Finally, Romans 12, verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Look to Jesus, who overcame the evil in our hearts with his own perfect righteousness, which is now our righteousness, to practice through the work of his Spirit in our hearts. Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 6, tells us of Jesus from the Old Testament, predicting thousands of years before he came to live. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was a perfect man, never once sinned, lived his righteous life, so that by trusting in him, we might have his righteousness as our own. He then went to the cross, taking the punishment that we deserve upon himself, the punishment of eternal hell on himself in just a few hours, because he is God, and he is able to do that. And then when we trust in him, he has taken the punishment for our sins on the cross. Then he rose again on the third day after taking on himself the iniquity of us all, the sin of us all, so that we might have new spiritual life now, a new physical life in the kingdom to come. Application, point number one. Love others by telling them the gospel, even when they mistreat. This is a difficult thing to do. But we know that God has loved us as his enemies. And he has given us the gospel and done everything that needs to be done so that we could be saved. So we must lay down our lives for those who mistreat us and tell them the truth of the gospel. Not angrily telling them that they're destined for hell, but telling them the truth that hell does exist and will be a place where God punishes the wicked, which is all of us are wicked. And if we could only repent and put our trust in Jesus, then we will be saved. And they too can be saved if they would just put their trust in Jesus Christ. Application number two. Lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ, even when they fail to love us as we want. We all want to be loved and treated with respect and kindness. But sometimes people are not going to be able to do that because they're sinners. And we still have to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ, even when they don't love us the way we want them to. That is our calling in us. Let us pray.
Dear Lord, Father, these are difficult truths, Father, difficult verses and scriptures and commands to follow, Father, but we are called to love others because of the great love which you have loved us, Father. And just as you love your enemies, we are called to love our enemies. Just as we cherish and love Jesus Christ, just as he laid down his life for all his people, Father, we are to love them in return for the love that Jesus has given us. And even those who are not your people, Father, we are to love because they are already destined for hell, Father, and we can call them to repentance and hope that they are believers, hope that they are elect, as we talked about earlier in Romans 9, Father. Help us to pray for those who persecute us, to love them, to tell them the gospel, even when it's hard.